and it's going to be just fine. Let's see. And now, the certified Apple teacher that we all know and love, a very dear friend of mine, Matt Volbrecht, he has given more time to teaching and sharing his God-given talents to the blindness community to make the world better. My friend, Matt Volbrecht, you're on.
Thank you so much, Danny, and I really am very excited to be with all of you. By the way, just so I know, because time's being slightly altered here, how long do I have?
You have till 3:45, and then 3:45 to 4:15 is open session for questions. So 3:45 to teach us, and then to 4:15 for questions for anybody that was on the panel.
Okay, gotcha. And while I have you, just to let everybody know, because this is going to be a segue here, I'm going to be doing another session on, it's Saturday, correct, Janie?
It is.
Okay. And the reason I bring that up right from the get-go, you know, this is so weird that we're not together in person. And I'm hoping by next year we can all be together in person. We'll see. But, you know, praise God for technology like this that allows us to do these things even when we're not in person. And what we're going to be talking about on Saturday is things that you can do from home, reading books on your iPad, helping your kids. You know, this technology, our kids are full-time online. This has enabled me for the first time to truly work with my kids while they're in class, because I can see what they're doing. I can be part of what they're doing. It's a whole new experience. So we're going to have a lot of great ideas, a lot of great conversations on Saturday about working from home, learning from home, using your iPad. You know, the iPad is truly, Apple called it when they first released it back in 2010, a magical and revolutionary product. And I couldn't agree more. I think that's such a fitting title for the iPad. And it's my understanding, again, things being so different this year, virtual and so on, I wasn't part of this, but it was my understanding that you've already had a great demo of some of the new features of iOS. And I certainly don't need to rehash that, don't want to step on anybody's toes, but I do want to present it from the iPad standpoint this afternoon, because that's where there are some differences. There are some things that are a little bit different than they are on iOS. And so we're going to start with that, and know that on Saturday, if you're interested in hearing more about what you can do with the iPad and even the iPhone and other Apple devices from home, and we're really going to focus on that. So iPadOS, you know, it was just last year that Apple made the distinction between iOS and iPadOS. It's the exact same core technology. So everything that is true about iOS, all of the great graphics, all of the great security and privacy features, and, you know, the wonderful battery life and all these things we've come to know and love and truly expect from our Apple devices, that all applies to the iPad. But it's been given some really distinct features now. It's been given some things that just really separate it from iOS, because, you know, iPad devices truly are able to replace our traditional computers. I mean, I run my business from an iPad. And so this powerful, capable device is absolutely amazing. Now, I want to start out, and I hope I'm not being redundant. I hope I'm not giving you something that was already given to you today. I want to start out with the different iPad models, because I know that when you got an overview of iOS, if this year is a mirror of the previous years that I've been privileged to attend, you got also an overview of the iPhone models that are available, iPhone 12 and 12 Pro and 12 Mini and 12 Pro Max. And those are not the only products that Apple introduced this year. They've introduced new HomePod Minis, which are really awesome smart speakers. They've introduced new Apple Watches. And, of course, for the focus of today, they've introduced new iPads. And so I want to just very quickly kind of let you know, as I say, I apologize if I'm being redundant, but I hope I'm not. I want to let you know what's available. I want to let you know what you can get, because, you know, Black Friday's coming up and you might want some new tech. and there's never a better time to get it than the holiday shopping season. My business, TTJ, the Tech Juggernaut, will be releasing a holiday gift guide podcast and blog post later by the end of this week, which will have a lot of these and other recommendations based on personal favorites. Let's focus on the iPads. There are three major iPad families that were updated this year. And actually, the first one that was updated was back in the spring of 2020, the iPad Pro. The second, the latter two, the remaining two, were updated in the fall. Now, the lineup kind of starts with the iPad 8th generation, which was updated in the fall. This is also known as the 10.2-inch iPad. This is, if you really want to trace the iPad back to its foundations, this is the original iPad. This is the progression and the evolution of the original iPad released 10 years ago, hence why it's called the 8th generation, because there were only a couple years there that it didn't receive direct updates. Last year, you might remember the 7th generation iPad, which was the first one to include a 10.2-inch display on that model instead of 9.7. The smart connector was added, so you could use a smart keyboard, and also added to the 7th generation very quietly, didn't receive a lot of attention at all, was an extra gigabyte of memory, which really improves its performance. Of course, this was a continuation of the 6th generation, which added Apple Pencil support, you've got Touch ID, you've got all these great specifications. The 8th generation iPad continues the exact same design as the 7th generation iPad. The form factor is identical to the 7th generation. Quite honestly, there's really only one change that was made from the 7th to the 8th generation. There was a second little one, the different power adapter, but basically just one major change, which might make us think to ourselves, why bother? If it's only one change, why should I care? And the answer to that question is because the one change that was made was probably the single most important change that Apple could have made. And it really makes this iPad every bit, and I'm not kidding you when I say this, every bit as powerful as the iPad Pro. And that change was, it has been bumped up two processor generations from the A10 Fusion to the A12 Bionic processor. Without getting into a lengthy dissertation about processors that I really couldn't even do because I don't know enough about it, I just give you a very quick lesson in processors. The more cores you have, the better off you are, because every core can take different tasks. And so multitasking suddenly becomes a whole lot easier. And if you also increase the clock speed of the processor, often measured in megahertz, you really have a fantastic package. With this processor, Apple did both. They increased the clock speed, but they also went from a dual core to a 6-core processor. This truly is not only a desktop class processor, but is faster than most Windows PCs and virtually all Chromebooks. This is the exact same processor that is used in the iPad Pro from this year. So you really can't get better than this. So it's no longer true that you need an iPad Pro if you want to do video editing and audio editing and even photo editing. I mean, we can't see maybe, but we still like to have our photos and have them organized. And I want to show you some cool things we can do with photos if there's time. But you can do all of this on an iPad 8th generation for a fraction of the cost of the more expensive ones because of this faster processor, which also increases our graphics to quad-core graphics. And our neural engine, we now have a neural engine, which means it's able to better identify people in photos. It's able to work better with augmented reality and with artificial intelligence. Some of you may have heard, hopefully you got a demo of voiceover recognition with image descriptions, screen recognition, which is a way of trying to make inaccessible apps accessible. But again, even the basic image recognition has been drastically improved. Let me give you a very, very quick example of that. I've got an app here. It's just my TV app, okay? we'll just use that real quick. And every time I swipe through my list of shows that I'm watching, it's going to tell me what the image is that's like the cover art for that show. So let's see what we've got here. Here's a show called Basic versus Baller, which is people traveling on different budgets and their experience with hotels and restaurants and so on and culture. Let's see what the associated with that.
Basic versus Baller, travel at any cost, continue S1, E380, time remaining, 21 minutes, download, button, two people standing next to each other in front of a white building with a dome roof.
See that? Isn't that awesome? And if there's text in those images, it'll try to read that for you. All of this is possible because of the neural engine, because of the new processor that's been included in this iPad 8th generation. This device, which typically starts at $329, you'll be able to get it for less on Black Friday, trust me. And if you've got kids in school, I mean, literally, even if you're homeschooling, if they're virtual online, you qualify for an education discount from Apple as well. So you can really, now I wouldn't get the $329 when I'd go up to the higher storage, the cellular Wi-Fi plus cellular model. But, you know, my point is, it's very, very reachable for many people. And the great part is, if you did have a seventh generation iPad, you don't have to buy new accessories because, again, it's the same form factor. So all your existing accessories, your smart keyboards, your cases, your adapters, all of that stuff will work with this eighth generation iPad. That is by far my favorite iPad in the lineup because I think it's the best bang for your buck. If you do need more than that, if you do need a larger display, or if you do need extra processing power or extra storage, you can go up to the iPad Air. Now, that's the other one that was introduced in the fall. That's kind of thought of by many people as being the mid-range, the middle ground iPad, but again, everything is equally capable here. But it's a 10.9-inch display. It's the fourth generation iPad Air. It doubles the storage, so instead of 32 and 128 gigabytes of storage like you see in the eighth generation, here you have 64 and 256 gigabytes. You also have the, as I mentioned, the larger 10.9-inch display, and it is as close to edge-to-edge as you will ever get in this kind of display. There is no home button. Touch ID has been put into the power button on the top of the unit. So this one doesn't have a home button. The first one I mentioned, the eighth generation, still does. This one, the Air, fourth generation, does not. And it also uses USB-C. So this is definitely getting a lot of its style cues and functionality from its bigger brother, the iPad Pro, or bigger sister, depending on what you want to call it. And so this is the iPad Air fourth generation. This is the only iPad currently to actually include Apple's latest processor. We talked about processors. This actually has an A14 Bionic processor. It's the only iPad to have that. The only other device with that right now is the current iPhone lineup. So this is a powerful iPad, and it is a different design. It's very lightweight, very fantastic machine. And then, of course, the top end of the spectrum, which is definitely higher in price, but also, you know, larger screen, up to 12.9 inches, up to a terabyte of storage. You have this Face ID with the true depth camera, so you can do your Animoji and Memoji on there. You have this LiDAR scanner on the back as part of the camera system, which means you can even, they're saying now, you can measure the distance between you and another person. They're really touting this as an accessibility feature. You can also measure somebody's height with the LiDAR scanner. We're talking, of course, about the iPad Pro 2020, the one that was introduced in the spring. This is a very, very powerful machine and the high end of the lineup. So, you know, what's the right one for you? It's personal preference. Everything's going to be equally capable. You just got to decide what screen size you want, what storage you want, and, you know, all of those kinds of little tidbits. And certainly, interested in more details about that, you can contact me. We'll make sure we give you contact information, and you can ask me some questions because these are going to be going. Guarantee you that with the approaching Black Friday holiday. So that's the current lineup. We still have the iPad Mini fifth generation that was actually introduced last year. But other than that, all new models for 2020 going into 2021. Great lineups for Christmas and holiday season all around. So that is the iPad lineup for this year. iPad 8th generation, iPad Air 4th generation, and the iPad Pro 2020. I forget what generation they're even calling that. Let's move on and talk about some of what is new and what has changed in iPadOS. With iPadOS, everything that you have come to know and love about iOS is still present, but it is designed from the ground up to benefit us on this really large display. And even if we can't see, you know, I'm totally blind, okay? But even if we can't see, there are benefits to this large display if we learn how to use it properly. We can, for the first time, multitask. I showed you a demo of that either last year or the year before, when it was, you know, it kind of in its infancy, but still working really well. And we could multitask. I think we opened a note on one side of the screen, if I remember right, and we opened a message in the Messages app or an email on the other side. And what we were able to do was literally touch both of them back and forth, and we could drag from one to the other. I think I took a note of, I think it was like snack baking instructions or something, and I took the note for all of you, and I dragged the note, whatever, from the Notes app over into the empty message body, and that way we could easily compose that message. It's not the only way to accomplish that goal, but it's really neat to be able to do it. And multitasking is better than ever, and we can even multitask with multiple windows within the same app, so we can have two websites side by side if we want a comparison shop, for example, or if we're doing research, we can have these two instances of the same app open side by side. Now, this is only something you're going to find in iPadOS. Another thing that you're going to see in iPadOS, if you have some vision, and we may have some folks here who don't, like myself, but if you have some sight or sighted family or friends who could benefit from this, if you have an Apple Pencil, you can now handwrite in any edit field that accepts text. This is not to be confused with voiceover handwriting as an input means. This is actual handwriting, and you can do it in a message, an email, a search field, a pages document, a note. You handwrite this text, and it is instantly translated into digital text that is searchable, that you can read back, all of these things. And this is called Scribble. This is a new feature that was introduced this year in iPadOS. Now, another thing we have in iPadOS that's sort of new this year, at least I should say it's been expanded upon this year, is widgets. Now, perhaps you got a demonstration of widgets with iOS a few minutes ago at what I know was a fantastic presentation. And perhaps you already talked about how a widget is basically a quick access to information from an app. Like on my iPad home screen here, I have a weather widget, and then I have another one that I'm going to tell you about in a minute. Now, first of all, I want to be clear that it's different on iPad than it is from iPhone. On the iPad, you must have your landscape mode orientation. You must have the iPad in landscape mode to be able to... Sorry about that, I accidentally muted myself. you must have it in landscape mode to be able to take advantage of your widgets. The other difference is you can only have page one widgets on the iPad. On an iPhone, you can put your widgets on any page, but on the iPad, they must be on page one. What's new in widgets this year for the iPad, though, is we can still stack our widgets like we can on the iPhone. And so what that means is I can combine two or more widgets. They don't have to take up a huge amount of space, but I can combine them into basically one widget stack, sort of like when you create app folders. It's the same concept as putting apps into a folder. And then we can easily swipe through them using the rotor. Now, there's even a thing called the Smart Stack. And the Smart Stack is based on an artificial intelligence designed to automatically present the most relevant information to you when it's needed. For example, it might show you directions to an upcoming event on your calendar, or at a different time of the day, it might show you the news because it thinks you like to read the news at that time, or whatever it may be. It will automatically cycle through all of these different things. But we can also make our own custom stacks. So if I look at my home screen,
podcasts.
Sorry, this is my home screen. But if I go up to the very top,
tab to open 3:30 p.m. Thursday, November 19th, Everett. 49 degrees Fahrenheit, sunny, high 49 degrees Fahrenheit, low of 37 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, that's my weather widget. When I swipe over to the right, I have a calendar, but I want you to hear something.
Thursday, November 19th.
And then it will tell me if I keep swiping what appointments I have today. And it also has what I can do, now look at this, when I swipe up here, I hear it tells me it's a widget stack, isn't it?
Thursday, no, next widget.
I'm using the rotor, it said next widget. I have calendars and reminders stacked on top of each other. This way, I can see my latest reminder and my next upcoming event. And you heard it say, next widget. Again, that's a rotor action. My rotor will default to actions when I happen to be on the home screen. And so if I land on a widget stack, all I have to do is to swipe up and down and choose next widget. And it will actually allow me to then go to my reminders. So let's just try that.
Thursday, November, next widget. Widget 2 of 2, a white logo on a red surface. Take out the garbage button. Back the library.
And that's coming up tonight. And so that's my reminder, and it said widget 2 of 2. Now I can go back.
Take out the garbage, next widget. Widget 1 of 2, a white logo.
And there's my calendar again. So you can stack as many widgets as you want on top of each other and cycle through them in this way using the rotor. So that is a great feature of the home screen. Now you do not have an app library on the iPad as you do on iOS, but you do get access to these great widgets. Another thing that has changed in iPadOS is the addition of app sidebars. And sidebars make it possible for you to have quick access to important tasks within an app, kind of like a toolbar. And so while some apps still retain the traditional tab bar at the bottom, apps like, let's see, which one has the tab bar still? I think the news app, and I think the TV app still do. Let's just look here. I'll go into news, and I think I'm right. Yeah, the news app.
Toggle side tab bar selected following news plus tab.
Okay, that still has a traditional tab bar, tabs across the bottom of the screen. But if we go into an app like music, files, calendar, there's several of them. Let's do the music app. You're going to see that the items of interest are not across the bottom of the screen. Instead, it's a vertical bar on the left-hand side of the iPad. So let's go ahead here.
Doc, file, mail.
Music. Here we go.
Music, edit, button.
If I take my finger to the bottom of the screen where the tab bar used to be.
Mini player.
See, I don't have tabs.
To expand the next.
I have the mini player, which is a quick access to the playback controls for the song that's currently available to play, which right now happens to be a radio station. Apple Music Hits so I can start playing.
Track play button stop.
Okay. Okay, we'll pause that. But that is that was just the, you know, I was testing that, and so you have these the mini player at the bottom, and you can expand that mini player into the full screen now playing experience. But I don't have a tab bar. So where are all my, you know, what we're used to in the music app, my search and my library and all these things? Well, they're in this new app sidebar that runs the length of the left-hand side of the iPad screen. If I touch near the top left, and let me remind you, you don't have to drag your finger down. You can still swipe to the right, you know, left and right. That is always going to work. But here we go.
Music heading.
There's the music heading. And if I swipe to the left, there happens to be an edit button. I'm going to swipe to the right, and that's going to be the same as moving down item by item here.
Listen now. Browse. Selected. Radio. Search.
So you've heard listen now, browse, radio, and search. It told me that radio is selected, and these are moving down along the left-hand side of the iPad. If I really did want to, I could swipe, like, drag my finger down, and I can prove that.
Browse. Selected.
See, I moved a little bit down. You can't see that, but...
Search.
I moved a little bit down again, and I found search. Now, if we keep going to the right, this is where it gets really cool.
Library button expanded.
On any of these, we can see our library, and it's already expanded. Listen to that hint again. It said double tap to collapse.
Library button expanded. Double tap to collapse. Actions available.
So I have it expanded, which means my library is right here, no matter which of those other things I have selected. I have access to my library. Let's go to the right and see.
Recently added artists, albums, songs, music videos, genres, home sharing, playlists, button expanded.
And again,
double tap to collapse.
My playlists are expandable also. So now, because that's expanded, I can keep going to the right and see all of my playlists.
All playlists. A little crystal. Arise and shine on. A silly little thing called love.
And some of these are Apple Music playlists, and some of them are my own. I'm not going to go through all of them because I've got hundreds of them. We won't take up that kind of time. But you can see that all of the options that used to be across the bottom of the screen are now available to me on the left-hand side of the iPad. And furthermore, some of them are collapsible and expandable, which means we can save space while still having access to everything we want whenever we need it. I have it all expanded right now because I like to have my playlists right there at the ready. But if I then touch the right-hand side of the iPad, I have whatever is featured right now. So I'm, because I am so I have the radio option selected, you'll remember. So over here, it's my radio stations.
Apple Music Country, where it sounds like home. See full schedule button. Recently played.
And this is the radio, what we would normally have called the radio tab, but it is the, you know, again, I won't take the time to go through all of that, but it is there. Now, in a similar fashion to this, let me show you one more example of these sidebars. Calendar has something pretty similar. In the calendar app, if I open calendar.
Facebook calendar. Calendar, toolbar, calendars, button.
Looks a little different in calendar, but again, on the left-hand side, we now have a calendars button.
Inbox, button, list, button, add, button, day, button, selected, week, button, month, button, year, button, four.
So all of those options.
Search.
And then a search field. They're not. There's nothing on the bottom of the screen except calendar dates.
1 p.m., Tuesday. November 17th.
Okay, see that? And if I want a quick way to move through all of my events, I pick a view, like I'm in week view, and then I set the rotor to events.
Screen recognition language, contain, verb, head, word.
I went the long way.
Events.
There it is.
Events.
Events, and I can swipe up and down with one finger to move through every event in the week.
Thursday, November 19th, Aaron Max 36.
Okay, there's today. And let's go, keep going up. Here's an event from yesterday, a men's Bible study.
Competent men, 2-3.
Okay, and all I'm doing is swiping up and down with one finger to go from event to event. If I want to see what's on next week's schedule, I three-finger scroll to the left.
Week of November 22nd.
Now I swipe up and down with one finger. Well, I got to set the rotor.
Characters, language.
I guess two events. I'll touch it in the middle.
Screen recognition events.
Here we go. Now I'll swipe up and down with one finger.
Thursday, November 26th, Wednesday, November, Monday.
Alright, so when I swipe up.
TTG training from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m.
It reads the event to me. Here's something on the schedule for Wednesday. It's that men's group. Here's Thursday. It's probably Thanksgiving.
6th, Thanksgiving, yep. All day.
Okay. See, all I'm doing is swiping up and down with one finger with the rotor set to events. That's only available on the iPad. It's not something you can do on the iPhone. While we're in the calendar, I don't know if you had a chance to have a demo of the... Let me just ask you, Jane, did you get a demo of how to create events in the calendar in iOS 14?
No, we did not.
Okay, because I was debating what to do for the last 5 minutes here, and I think I...
Got it. That's perfect.
Okay, all right, because it is different, and I've seen a lot of people complaining about it. And if you learn how to use it, it's going to be just fine. All right, so to create an event, it's the same as it's always been, with one major difference. Let's hit the add button.
To list, add button, add text field is editing, title, character mode, insertion point at start.
Okay, we've only got 5 minutes left, so I'm not going to go through every one of these for you because nothing has changed except the start and end dates, how you select those. Everything else is the same. I can enter my title. I can enter the event location or search for a location. I can invite people. I can set alerts. I can add attachments to the event and notes and web addresses and all sorts of things like that. I can choose whether there's travel time, all of these kinds of things, just like we've always done. Where it's different is selecting the start and end dates. And it's actually remarkably simple. Let's swipe over to the starts area.
All day starts November 24th, 2020, 3 p.m. Double tap to edit.
Double tap. That's what I'm going to do.
Starts November 24th, 2020, 3 p.m.
Okay. Let me swipe to the right.
Time picker. Time 0300. Text field. Double tap to edit.
That's a text field. Now, let me just say this. I have to be very careful here because I'm a beta tester. I'm using 14.3 on my iPhone, but I'm still using 14.2 on my iPad, which I'm using to demo for you. I can't talk about the betas. I mean, I'm prohibited from sharing details. But let me just say that whatever happens in 14.3, you'll be fine, okay? Either way, it's going to work. So I'm just going to leave it at that and not say anything else. What I'm going to say, though, is with 14.2, the way you enter a time, it's an actual text field, okay? It's an edit field. And this has really caused a lot of consternation for people because they don't know how to use this edit field. When you double tap this edit field, do not overthink it. Do not read into it. Do not try to delete what's there. Do not try to read what's there. Simply type a one or two digit hour and a two digit minute. Okay, it is literally as simple as that. I'll demonstrate it for you. And by the way, understand this is a telephone style keypad for this time entry thing. So we double tap here.
Time 0300. Time text time picker. Time text field is editing.
I know it says picker. It's really not so much a picker. It's kind of a text field. So what we're going to do is I'm going to enter the time. Let's say my event starts at 9:30. Don't worry about what VoiceOver is saying while you're typing. It's not a bug, okay? It's not a bug, but it's reading to you based upon what you've entered. So if I only enter a 9, it thinks it's 0009. Don't just ignore that, all right? 9:30 is the start time of my event. I enter 930. Is the 9?
0009.
All right, I enter the 3.
3. 0093.
And I enter the...
0930.
There it is, 9:30. Start time of my event. It was as easy as that. Now, if I look here.
All the time picker. Time 0930. Text field. AM button. Selected. PM button. 202.
I have two buttons, AM and PM. I can pick whichever one I want when the event starts.
AM button. Selected. AM.
All right. Now, if I go to the right, here's the other thing you have to be aware of. How do I select the date? All right. So let's go to the right.
PM, month, November 2020, button, adjustable, Double tap to change month and year. Swipe up or down with one finger to adjust the value.
You got a lot of information there. It's a very interesting, unique screen element, okay? It's a combination of a button and a value adjuster. And that's because if you double tap on the button, it also shows the year picker. So if our event is in 2023 or 2024, we don't have to move month by month to get to it. We can just pick that year, and then we can, you know, use the month picker. If I don't want to pick the year, I can just swipe up and down to change the month. I don't have to double tap this. And so that's what I'm going to do. Even if it goes into the next year, I can do that. So let's say it goes to, let's say the event is on January the 15th of 2021. So we'll swipe up.
December 2020, January 2021.
Now, what I have here is an entire calendar. Look, if I swipe to the right.
Friday, January 1st, button. Saturday, January 2nd, button. Sunday, January 3rd, button.
Okay, not a problem. I can just double tap on the date that I want. But does that really mean I have to swipe potentially up to 30 times or 31 times to get through an entire month? And the answer is no. I want to tell you about a little trick. If you add vertical navigation to your rotor, you can move through this date picker week at a time, 7 days at a time, like so. I'm going to go back to the first because I said we're going to pretend the event starts on the 15th of January. So let's go back to the first.
Friday, January 1st, button.
I'm going to set the rotor to vertical.
Language, screen recontain vertical navigation.
And I'm going to swipe down once.
Friday, January 8th, button.
And one more time.
Friday, January 15th, button.
And I'm going to double tap.
Selected, Friday, January 15th.
And now I'm going to swipe back up twice to get it to the beginning of the date picker.
Friday, January 1st, button.
I'm going to swipe over to the left to find where it says starts, because I want to hide all this now. I don't want to keep showing all of these dates because I want to be able to access the rest of the fields in this, you know, new event or add event screen. So I want to hide this.
Time, zero, starts, January, starts, January 15th, 2021, 9:30 a.m.
And you see that everything I selected is done. Again, that time field, not sure what's going to happen in 14.3. based on my current testing, but it works. Okay, it's usable. So just, you know, hang tight there. But the date field, it's actually a lot easier, because if you think about it, in the old system, 13 and below, if I wanted to set my event for January the 15th, what's today? November the 19th or whatever it is today. I'd have to swipe all those times to get from November 19th to January 15th. Now I can do it in just a couple of swipes. I know we're out of time. I know this has been a whirlwind. Your heads are probably spinning. I'm going to try to stick around for a little bit for some, you know, some questions, but I don't want to overstay my welcome here, so I got to, you know, stop.
You never overstay your welcome. It's just you're a plethora of knowledge, and we love to hear you talk, so it's great. But I do want to thank you.